Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. First, let's look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. First, I'd like to look at the money spent on lobbying to defeat the mortgage cramdown in the first quarter of 2009. It comes out to be over $42 million paid to lobbyists working to defeat the cramdown. In short, a review of lobbying reports filed indicates that finance, insurance, and real estate interests paid over $42 million to lobbyists who worked to defeat the mortgage write-down in bankruptcy, known as the cramdown, in the first quarter of 2009, as well as other anti-consumer legislation such as capping credit card interest rates. 60 organizations filed lobbying reports for the first quarter of 2009, indicating they had paid lobbyists to work on the issue. Because lobbying reports don't break down how much money was devoted to lobbying on specific issues, it's not possible to break down a total spent on cramdown alone, but lobbying against H.R. 1106, H.R. 200, and S. 61, the Helping Families Save Their Homes Act, was a priority for those organizations and lobbyists in these figures. In short, the legislation, which would have allowed bankruptcy judges to write down mortgage principal to current market values, could have played a significant role in stemming the foreclosure crisis. It is estimated that it would have prevented 20% of foreclosures at no cost to taxpayers. Recently, Senator Richard Durbin gave a speech on the floor of the Senate where he indicated the banks, quote, own us, end quote. He also indicated that between now and 2012, some 8 million homeowners may lose their houses in foreclosure. One curious and very important point is that some of these major lobbyists were bailout recipients. American Express used $830,000 of his $3.4 billion to fight these bills. Bank of America, which had bailouts of $52.5 billion and $4.5 billion, used $660,000 to lobby against the bills. Barclays PLC and its U.S. affiliates, who received $7 billion in bailout money, used $1,310,916 to fight the bills. Capital One Financial Corporation, which received $3.6 billion in bailout funds, used $419,000 to attack the bills. Credit Suisse, which received $0.4 billion in bailout money, used $470,000 to attack the bills. Deutsche Bank, which received $6.4 billion in bailout money, used $220,000 to attack the bills. Discover Financial Services, having received $1.2 billion in bailout money, used $60,000 to attack the bills. GMAC, which received $5 billion in bailout money, used $410,000 to override the bills. Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., which received $10 billion once and $12.9 billion a second time, used $670,000 to defeat the bills. HSBC, or Household Bank, which received $3.3 billion in bailout funds, used $1,200,000 $26,573 of those dollars to help defeat the bill. ING North America, which received $1.5 billion in bailout funds, used $620,000 to help defeat the bill. JP Morgan Chase Bank, which received $25 billion in bailout funds, used $1,310,000 to help defeat the bills. Morgan Stanley and Company received $10 billion and another $1 billion, and it used $540,000 of those bailout funds to help defeat the consumer benefiting bills. PNC Bank received $7.6 billion in bailout funds and used $135,000 of those funds to help defeat the bills. UBS Americas Inc. received $1.7 billion and used $70,000 of the bailout funds to help defeat the bills. U.S. Bancorp received $6.6 billion in bailout funds and used $170,000 to give to lobbyists to help defeat the bills. And finally, Wells Fargo and Company received $25 billion in bailout funds, and they used $700,000 to pay lobbyists to help defeat the bills. So in essence, $42,416,536 in total were used by all of the major corporations that funded the lobbyists to help defeat these bills, which were an attempt to help consumers who are struggling with foreclosures and credit card interest rates. So in short, what we see is that consumers' taxpayer funds were playing a major role through the bailout funds in helping to defeat benefits to consumers themselves. And it's also interesting to note that these foreclosures aren't just affecting the middle and lower classes anymore and the subprime loans. The number of U.S. homes valued at more than $729,000, or the jumbo loan limit in the most affluent areas, are entering the foreclosure process. And the rate of foreclosures jumped 127% during the first 10 weeks of this year compared to the same period of 2008. And that data has been compiled by Realty Track, Inc. of Irvine, California. Also, the rate rose 72% for homes valued at less than $417,000 and 78% for all homes. So we're seeing that the next wave of defaults is building, this time in the mid to high range. What we are seeing, of course, is the debt burden that people are having from foreclosures and credit cards, etc. And using the data we have so far in the year 2009, we can make some predictions about the rest of the calendar year regarding bankruptcies. It's predicted that 1,366,000 filings will occur in 2009 if bankruptcy filings continue for the rest of the year at the same daily rate of 5,462 per day as they have averaged for the first 4 months of 2009. This, of course, is not a good situation for many American people. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Next, I'd like to continue the second portion of this show with issues that are much more positive and can help you on your path to having some stability financially, get rid of your debt, and in this section, purchasing a home that is right for you, which we've been discussing the last month or so. I want to start with an important credit because the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in these programs are directly from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors, and I highly recommend two of their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. Also, you can go back to the archives at www.kruufm.com into the Life and Debt section, and you can listen to the shows in the past, which help to build your knowledge base for dealing with your debt and creating a stable financial situation for yourself. As I mentioned, we have been talking about purchasing the home that is right for you and went over a lot of rules and procedures for making that a reality. Then last week, I discussed dealing with what we call the buts, because you're armed with the facts and you're ready to go out there and buy the home of your dreams, or if, based on what we've said, it's necessary that you wait a couple of years until you're ready. In any event, when you are ready and are motivated and your mind is made up, you have to deal with the other side, the cautionary side, because you're going to get a lot of buts. And as I mentioned, these can be from extreme kinds of thinking. For example, but if you want to build real wealth, you need to start right now. And perhaps you're not really ready to start right now if you've used all of the rules we've gone over. But there is this kind of thinking in America, and it has really become a beloved American story regarding home appreciation. And it's true and anecdotal just enough to keep the myth alive. And that myth is that you can make money from your real estate because your home is going to continue to appreciate. And you'll hear this from real estate agents, mortgage brokers, and bankers who all make big bucks when people buy fast at any price. As I said before, there's this kind of cast of characters almost always hollering that the market will always go up and you can make lots of money, perhaps even millions. And as I mentioned, many of us probably know someone who in the past made a tremendous amount of money for a house that they purchase for hardly anything. But the reality is really a lot less exciting. As I mentioned, on the average, home values usually rise at roughly the same rate as inflation. So when you look at that idea, putting your money into a home is just a little bit better than putting it in the bank at a passbook savings account interest rate. And also, it's not as good as historically putting your money in the stock market and keeping it there in a conservative long-term investment, which is highly diversified. Moreover, while there have been some really phenomenal run-ups in home prices over the decades, there also have been some huge crashes. As I mentioned, between 1989 and 1993, for example, the value for a typical home, when adjusted for inflation, which is important, dropped by 7%. And truthfully, many cities have experienced much bigger real estate crashes. There will be really no guarantee whenever you buy your house that the market will always rise and will stay hot and the prices will get you a lot of gain. So the answer to this but buy right now, why aren't you buying right now, is that the best financial reason for owning a home is not so you can resell it for a bunch of money. At best, making big money is really and truly a long shot, certainly not something you want to gamble a tremendous amount of your paycheck, probably a third or more of your paycheck, every month for the next 30 years. What we said was that the best financial reasons for home ownership are one day you will get your house paid off and you can live rent-free for the rest of your life. Two, owning your own home really is a great safeguard against inflation. Rents will keep rising, but a fixed mortgage is just that, fixed. Third, and lastly, over the long run, the money you would have spent on rent goes toward building something valuable in your financial future. Trying to double your money from buying a house is like going to the racetrack or to casinos. Home ownership does have some ups, but it has downs too. And over time, it factors out to be more like passbook savings, a respectable return on your investment, but not really an exciting bet for a high roller. So if you need to wait a few years while you save for your down payment and pay off your debt, as we discussed in the past, don't worry. You will still have plenty of time to get on the wealth building train. And you'll do it from the strongest and safest possible financial place, not to mention the emotional health you will retain by using this kind of approach. The next but we looked at was that, but rent is a waste of money. And that logic often seems very solid. At the end of the month, you have nothing to show for all the money you spent on rent. But of course, that same kind of result applies to your heating bill, your water bill, your food bill, your transportation costs. At the end of the month, there are a lot of things you pay for that you don't show anything material for, anything tangible for. Nothing except, of course, that you lived your life. And when you pay your rent, you receive what you needed, a roof over your head. And rent is no different from food. But no one is suggesting you, as I said, buy a cow. And also, you have to look at the calculation. If you buy today with no down payment, for the first several years that you, quote unquote, own your home, actually more than 90% of your payments will go to interest, fees, taxes, and insurance. And that money will be just as lost as the money you would have spent on rent. So in the early years of home owning, renting can look, frankly, about the same to your wallet. While it is true that over the long run, it is generally wiser to own your home than to rent because part of your money will go towards something valuable, although in the early years, it's only a very small part of your money. But that's really truly over the long run. In the short run, it doesn't make much difference whether you rent or own. If you wait a year or two until you are financially stronger, a bigger part of what you pay each month will go to your bottom line and not the mortgage company's bottom line. In those kinds of situations, the wait will really be worth it. The next but we discussed was, but everyone should own a home. And you have to look at the reality of this. Home ownership can be a lot of work. And if you just don't feel like taking it on, then renting may be a lot better. Also, if you are needing to move around or you do move around quite a bit, home ownership probably isn't worth the hassle. You can be forced to sell on short notice just when the market is in the doldrums. You have total expenses, real estate commissions, closing costs, inspection fees, and the rest, which on the average is 9% of the sales price of the house, so you can really be left in a deep financial hole. Also, some markets where people live, the home costs more than we even want to consider in the middle class mentality, so renting may be the only prudent decision, at least temporarily. Some markets get badly overheated, and waiting for them to cool off a bit may make sense, and as I discussed earlier in the show, we're seeing foreclosures starting to rip into the jumbo loans that were made for houses over $700,000 loans. Those are prime loans, and this is not a pretty picture. So before you sign up for that 30-year loan, that mortgage, it's really okay to take a deep breath and ask yourself whether home ownership is right for you, right here and right now. It may not be the time or place, and it's perfectly fine to pull back from buying if you decide you're not quite ready. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Historically, there was also another but that isn't true at the moment. And that but is, but prices are rising so fast, if you wait, you'll get priced out of the market. Those are boom market times with multiple bidders. The market's hot. No one can lose. You hear this message, the train's pulling out of the station, but if you run, you might just make it. This is a strong emotional argument, and it doesn't give you time to think. Just run or you will miss it. Well, currently, just looking at the economy and the foreclosures and the state of everything slipping, this is not your current but argument. But the important point is that there is a lot of hype in all of these kinds of sales situations. Hot markets really are about hype, and hype can be very expensive. If the market cools off and you need to move, you'll be stuck with the mortgage payments. Remember, real estate agents and mortgage brokers won't be giving you back one dime if you get in trouble. So you need to figure out what you can afford and stick to that. So in hot markets, if it means waiting until the market cools down, which frankly is true now in many areas, and your savings are quite good for the down payment, those kinds of waits you shouldn't really worry about. Yet another point that is on the opposite side of the coin right now, we have exceedingly cooled markets. One of the reasons for that is that there are so many foreclosures. Even in good neighborhoods where there are foreclosures, the value of the non-foreclosed homes is going down. And this can be very unpredictable right now for a whole neighborhood. So you need to be quite careful. And remember, on the average, home prices rise about the same pace as inflation. There may be a run up during some period, but odds are in your favor that it won't last very long. And as I said, on the other hand, when the market is in a very slippery phase as it is right now, even though the prices may be coming down in some areas unbelievably, you may want to be cautious in jumping in where the area has multiple foreclosures, because that can impact on a lot of issues regarding home purchasing. In the final analysis, when the time is right, you can find a great house and sleep a lot better knowing that your money is in balance and your home is secure. And when you hear the hurry up hype, just nod your head, smile. You'll be fine no matter what the market does. If you've done everything we've suggested, gone over all the details, and set yourself up properly, then regardless of the market, your decision will be educated and well conceived, and your finances will get you through both the highs and the lows. Just a little bit of a recap about the myths regarding buying a home. Number one myth is you should buy a home now, as we discussed. And the fact is you should buy a home when you're ready, as I just concluded. Another myth is if the bank approves you for the mortgage, you can afford the home. False. That is absolutely false. Banks are out to maximize their profits, period. You really have to calculate what you can afford and don't rely on anyone else to do that for you. Another myth is that, well, basically mortgages are all alike, so there's no need to shop around. In fact, anyone who doesn't shop around for a mortgage is asking to get fleeced. Another myth is that you can trust your real estate agent to look out for your interests. In fact, your real estate agent gets paid to look out for the seller's interests, not yours as the buyer. Another top myth about buying a home is everyone should own a home. And the fact is, home ownership is great for some people, but as we discussed in great detail, is not right for others. Another myth is responsible people don't lose their homes in foreclosure. The truth is that hardworking people are now losing their homes in foreclosure every single day. And as we discuss, being able to save them through cram downs and bankruptcy is not going to happen right now because the law was not passed. Another myth is there's no point in saving for a down payment because a lot of loans had been given without them. Well, the fact is that a down payment can save you literally tens of thousands of dollars over the life of your mortgage. Another common myth is that you can pay off your credit cards after you buy the house. Well, you will save money and make yourself safer if you pay your unsecured debts before you buy the house. As we discussed today, another myth is you can make big money buying houses and flipping them quickly. Well, the fact is anyone who needs to sell quickly can lose
a lot of money.
Another myth is that rent is wasted money. The truth is that rent does put a roof over your head, and in the short term, it's often less costly than buying the house. And then finally, the grand myth is that real estate prices always go up. Well, the fact is you just look in the papers and see what's happening across the country right now, and there's a lot of proof that this is absolutely incorrect. And even when the markets are stable, the truth is that the houses usually appreciate at the same rate as inflation. So those were the really top myths about buying a home. So to conclude the whole issue of purchasing the home and one that is right for you, it really is a tremendous adventure in life to have a home. With luck and some very careful planning, your home can be a cornerstone of your financial plan and really the site of your happiest memories. Professor Warren gives a very good example of the common experience. For Russell and Diana, homeownership wasn't exactly trouble-free. They look back today and laugh about how many times they wondered if they were going to make it. Diana tells about the day they moved in when their 7-year-old son decided he can climb the red oak on the edge of the property. Everyone was watching, the movers, so no one saw Jeremy make the climb. But they heard him fall, slipping off the lower limb, hollering all the way to the ground, where his arm made a loud snap. And Jeremy was still wearing a cast when a rumbling noise woke them up one night. Russell ran to the backyard just in time to see the earth open up and their septic tank explode as a smelly dark color ooze rolled across their lawn. Then came another real shock. When the weather got warm, they learned that the next door neighbors were nudists, a discovery Jeremy made just before he fell out of the oak tree again and broke his wrist. Russell cut the oak tree back, and things settled down for the next few years until Diana installed a 24-hour light in the little lean-to shed in the backyard where she was trying to grow seedling vegetable plants. A few days later, the police rapped on the door. Apparently, they thought Russell and Diana had gone into the marijuana supply business. But through it all, they repainted the house, added a new baby, and kept making payments. Once they had recovered from the initial moving and closing costs, they started adding extra money to every monthly payment. By the time Jeremy was in college as a senior, the family had paid off their mortgage. They owned their own piece of land, oak tree, septic tank, lean-to, greenhouse, and all. So the bottom line is that home ownership was a lot of work for these people, but it was well worth it, and this is a very typical situation. We all believe in home ownership, but it has to be the kind that comes with a smile. And if you've been following everything I've been discussing in this course and you want that home, you are on your way to buy it, to pay it off, and to keep happy and smiling. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life. You are listening to the open source sounds of Wicked All Stars. The song is Jazz House from the album Dark Clouds, available from